You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Hello, Dolphin fans. You are listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily. I'm your host, Stephen Mosso, on this Wednesday, August 11th. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be taking a look at the depth chart, giving my thoughts, some things to watch as we progress through the preseason, some notable headlines, some things that are shocking, some things that are not. All of that is going to be discussed in today's episode. And then I also want to take some time to give my thoughts on the whole Xavien Howard situation, how that could help the Dolphins this upcoming season, and what it means for the team moving beyond 2021. So we'll begin today's episode by taking a look at the depth chart, and we'll begin, of course, with the quarterback position. It's fair to say that there is nothing surprising there with Tua Tagovailoa, Jacoby Brissett, followed by Reed Sinnett. Nothing surprising there. We move on to the running back position. This is kind of one of the more interesting ones. We have Myles Gaskin, and if you guys checked out my podcast that I do for Via the Source, I kind of went in depth about why Myles Gaskin is a sufficient lead back for the team, and he is followed by Malcolm Brown, then Savon Ahmed, Patrick Laird, Jordan Scarlett, and lastly, Jared Doakes, the rookie. Now, some people were a little bit confused about Malcolm Brown being ahead of Savon Ahmed, and you guys may know I was very impressed with what I saw last year from Savon Ahmed. I think this is strictly for two reasons. One of it's just Malcolm Brown is a veteran. He has proven a lot more at the professional level. And the other reason, I think Malcolm Brown offers a skill set that the Dolphins are going to need that the other guys don't necessarily bring. He's that powerful runner, that guy in the short yardage situation. If you're thinking fantasy football, this is going to be the guy that I imagine is going to vulture some of the touchdowns in the red zone and in the goal line away from Myles Gaskin. So I do think him being at the second spot there in the depth chart is nothing shocking. I think it's strictly because he brings a necessary element that the Dolphins offense kind of need. And I don't think that's necessarily a knock on Savon Ahmed, who was very electric in his own way. Now we'll move on here to the wide receiver position. At the beginning, we have nothing necessarily shocking with Devontae Parker, Will Fuller, both leading the way, and then Albert Wilson being listed as the primary slot receiver. Now behind Albert Wilson in that slot receiver spot, we have Jaylen Waddle. Some people were kind of looking at that and, a little bit confused. Why is our star rookie wide receiver listed behind Albert Wilson? Again, this is another instance where you have a guy who has proven more at the professional level. I don't think this is necessarily a shock. I don't think it's a knock either on Jaylen Waddle. Albert Wilson has been absolutely lighting it up during training camp. I think there's a ton of things to love about him, but I'm not worried in any sort of way about Jaylen Waddle being listed behind him. I still think we're going to see a substantial amount of the rookie Jaylen Waddle throughout this rookie season. I don't think this is necessarily anything to worry about. Now, behind Devontae Parker here, we have Jakeem Grant in that number 5 receiver spot with Mac Hollins following him. This is a little bit interesting because throughout the offseason and towards the tail end of last year, a lot of people are saying we don't want Jakeem Grant on our team anymore. And that's, of course, because he was given more of an opportunity outside of the realm of special teams, being a true wide receiver. And in those instances, he wasn't able to capitalize on those opportunities. Of course, he had some big drops on those downfield passes, and people are generally just really frustrated with Jakeem Grant. And then Lynn Bowden Jr., who's behind Jaylen Waddle in that slot receiver spot, people are kind of hoping that it would be Lynn Bowden Jr. ahead of Jakeem Grant, which has not been the case. Now, as for this whole thing, I think the Dolphins are going to view Jakeem Grant and Lynn Bowden Jr. and other guys like Robert Foster, Isaiah Ford, Kirk Merritt, all those guys, and they're going to have to evaluate, well, how much does Jakeem Grant bring to the team in terms of his special teams? Does it outweigh what the other guys could bring to the offense. Now, I will say Lynn Bowden Jr. was extremely exciting on a few moments in the Dolphins offense last year. It was a depleted receiver group, and he was able to provide a spark, it seemed like, in those times. So I am grateful for those instances, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Dolphins are just looking at this saying, okay, we have a lot of receiver talent. What we need more from a guy at this point is somebody who is an all-pro when it comes to returning the ball. And I do think I can't knock Jakeem Grant in that aspect. Aside from a few instances where he's muffed punt returns, the guy has been absolutely electric on those returns and can shift the entire momentum of a game. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Dolphins are viewing it in that way and Jakeem Grant is going to secure a spot. We'll have to see it throughout the course of the preseason. But the other guys like Isaiah Ford, Allen Hurns, Robert Foster have also been making a fair share of exciting plays throughout training camp. Now, as we move on here to the tight end position, I don't think there's anything that's necessarily shocking. Yeah, Mike Gesicki and then Adam Shaheen. Some people are shocked about Adam Shaheen. Frankly, I'm not. I think the guy was pretty good when it came to playing in the red zone. Then you have Jerome Smythe, Seathan Carter, and then trailing right behind him, you have Hunter Long, who of course suffered what appeared to be a very devastating knee injury. Of course, we wish him the best in his recovery. There's no concrete reports that suggest it's less than a season-long injury, so definitely stay updated on that, and we wish him a speedy recovery. Now, we move here to the offensive line, and this is where the bulk of the interest should be, in my opinion. At left tackle, nothing surprising here. We have Austin Jackson at that commanding spot right there. Now, at left guard is where things are a little bit interesting because we have rookie Liam Eichenberg, who a lot of people were presuming was going to take over the right tackle spot for the Dolphins, but instead, they have him here at left guard ahead of the second-year guard, Solomon Kinley. Now, when it comes to Solomon Kinley, I thought the guy looked great when he first arrived onto the scene, but apparently throughout the duration of the season and towards the tail end, he wasn't as impressive, and I guess him being placed behind a rookie at this point is also indicative of more of that. Now, at center, we have Michael Dieter. At right guard, we have Robert Hunt, and then at right tackle, arguably the most important position outside of the quarterback for the Dolphins is going to be Jesse Davis. Of course, left tackle is always regarded as one of the more important positions, but with Tua being a left-handed quarterback, that is now converted to the right tackle position being more valuable. So a lot of people here are concerned about Jesse Davis being the starter. Of course, I wouldn't be shocked at all if either by opening day or by early on in the season that Liam Eichenberg takes it over and Solomon Kinley is moved to the guard position, but there are reports right now that suggest the Dolphins may be interested in bringing in a guy, making a trade for a starting caliber right tackle player, and that they wouldn't be opposed to trading a wide receiver. Now, I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Dolphins give up draft capital to bring in a right tackle here, even though this is just a rumor for now, but I would be very interested to see another report that suggests which receiver the Dolphins would be interested in trading. Now, we move on here to the defensive side of the ball, and the first thing to note here is that the Dolphins presented their depth chart in the nickel formation, so they feature three cornerbacks here throughout the depth chart, which is very interesting, and it really shows kind of how the NFL is trending more towards, you know, a pass-heavy game. So to start off, we'll begin with the cornerback position. It's the one that has the most players, the most moving around, I think, throughout the course of a preseason. Of course, at the cornerback one position, we have a guy who could have been the defensive player of the year in Xavien Howard. Outside of him, we have Byron Jones. Then we have Nick Needham, who's played primarily in the slot here, being listed as one of the boundary cornerbacks. Then we have Noah Igbinoghene, Javaris Davis, Terrell Bonds, Trill Williams, and Tino Ellis. Now we move on here to the nickel cornerback. The guy who has taken a commanding lead in this spot is the newly acquired Justin Coleman. Apparently there's just been a ton of raving about him. The guy looks extremely physical. He looks really big in that spot. It's an element that the Dolphins really need, especially in the red zone, to cover those bigger body receivers and potentially tight ends. I love the idea of having a physical guy like Justin Coleman here. Then we have Jamal Perry and then Cravon LeBlanc. And when it comes to Nick Needham being listed as an outside corner, I wouldn't necessarily take that as the only position he could play. Wouldn't be shocked at all if he is moved back towards the slot. And one thing is you could never have too many cornerbacks, especially when you had a flurry of guys dealing with injuries at this spot last year. Now, to stay with the secondary, but to switch to the safety positions, we have Jason McCourty and Eric Rowe as the two starting safeties. And then we have rookie Javon Holland there outside as the free free safety. We have Brandon Jones as the backup strong safety, Clayton Fedulum, Trill Williams, and Nate Hawley. I don't think there's any sort of shocking news going through that whole position group. Now, we move on here to the defensive line to begin with the nose tackle. Here we have Raekwon Davis as the guy who took a commanding lead, followed by John Jenkins and Benito Jones. At the first defensive end position, we have Christian Wilkins leading the way, followed by Zach Sealer, Jonathan Ledbetter, and Jerome Johnson. At the other defensive end side, we have Emmanuel Ogba, who started off last year red hot, was extremely dynamic for this team in creating turnovers, followed by Adam Butler and Jason Stobridge. And then at the linebacker spots, we have three linebackers here. To break it down, going by the first team, we have Jerome Baker, Benardrick McKinney, and Andrew Van Ginkle. For the second team here, we have Duke Riley, Sam Eguavone, Brennan Scarlett, and then the other guys here, Vince Beagle is noted as the third team guy, as well as rookie Jalen Phillips. Of course, I don't expect that to remain the case for much longer, especially when it comes to Jalen Phillips. Vince Beagle has also been praised pretty heavily. It's just a shame that he went down with an injury. But again, wouldn't be shocked at all if these guys make a leap in front of some of these other guys and make a strong case for being starters themselves. Now, lastly here, we're going to go over the special teams. Of course, at the kicker position, we have an absolute star in Jason Sanders. As the punter, we have Michael Pilardi. Long snapper, there's Blake Ferguson. As the kick returner, Jakeem Grant is listed as a primary kick returner, as well as punt returner, followed by Jalen Waddle, Noah Igbinoghene, Lynn Bone Jr., and Malcolm Perry. Though the only final note here I'm going to go over is I don't mind Jalen Waddle fielding kicks or punts in this instance. I remember back, a lot of people, myself included, were very heated at the idea of Preston Williams returning punts because he was a rookie. He was playing so well at the time. I will say I don't mind Jalen Waddle returning punts because I do think that could be a very strong element of his game. His speed is through the roof. My primary issue with Preston Williams returning punts was that he's a big physical receiver. He doesn't really bring those same characteristics that you would look for in a punt returner. Guys who are a little bit smaller, guys who are shiftier, have more of that breakaway speed. I didn't see necessarily any of that in Preston Williams. Not to say that he's a bad receiver, I just didn't see him fitting the mold as a punt returner. He looked like this big, stronger receiver, kind of like a giraffe returning punts. None of that really made sense to me, and I didn't really expect him to excel in that spot, whereas I could see Jalen Waddle being a pretty good punt and kick returner here, so I wouldn't be mad at the idea of him returning a few kicks or punts. We saw how well Jarvis Landry did in those instances where he basically won the game against Washington a few years ago. So again, I wouldn't be opposed to having Jalen Waddle returning kicks or punts. Now, lastly, I want to go over a bit of my thoughts on Xavien Howard and the Dolphins restructuring his contract. A lot of people are thrilled to hear this news, myself included. I know I suggested the potential for him to get traded, but at the end of the day, I think it was a win-win situation for both him and the Dolphins for this deal to get done. From his side, Xavien Howard, I think, was put in a position with this Dolphins scheme that relied so heavily on disrupting and causing confusion for the quarterback by sending blitzes. I really did think it put a guy like Xavien Howard in a good position to make a ton of turnovers. But at the same time, I don't want to devalue his importance to the Dolphins team, especially when you consider the amount of outgoing talent that the Dolphins had this offseason, losing starters like Kyle Van Noy, losing guys like Shaq Lawson, as well as Bobby McCain. I don't think the Dolphins could afford to lose a guy like Xavien Howard, especially when the defense was the strongest point of last year's team. I think it would have been too much of a setback, and even though there's a ton of young talent, expecting them to be red hot out of the gates and fill the shoes of a guy like Xavien Howard, I think was just going to be too much to ask for. So I think overall, this is good for both parties involved. Now, taking a look at the deal, it's heavily incentivized. It can get to a point where he can make as much as $16 million this upcoming season if he hits all those incentives, including a $1 million bonus for making the Pro Bowl, which is, you know, pretty likely in his scenario. So he could get that big payday and get kind of the respect that he was deserving. But overall, the Dolphins apparently said that they gave their word that they would look at it this next upcoming offseason to see if they could restructure it yet again and meet the market's demands. But I do agree with Mike over here at Dolphins Talk that if anything, this appears to me like they are putting this whole situation just on pause until the 2021 offseason. They're throwing him a little bit more guaranteed money But I don't think this necessarily guarantees that he's with the Dolphins for the long term. Of course, it makes it look a lot better, but I don't think there's any sort of guarantee, and I imagine this whole situation will be brought back up this upcoming offseason after this year. Apparently, the Dolphins are going to be looking to see if he can remain both healthy and consistent before they agree to restructure the deal yet again. So, guys, that is how I'm going to wrap up today's episode. As always, if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can do so. That is at Shady Steven. If you'd like to hear more from me, I do a Dolphins podcast. It's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It is called Via the Source. If you can check it out, it would mean a lot to me and is a huge help, as well as follow me on Twitter. That is at Via the Source. If you haven't already, make sure to follow Dolphins Talk on Twitter. That is at Dolphins Talk. And for all your news about the team, go to DolphinsTalk.com. Stay updated on everything in regards to the Miami Dolphins. Guys, it was a pleasure to be your host. Until next time, I'm Steven Masso. This was your DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.